Second Chronicles 14, we want to consider the reign of Jesus, the return of the good king in Israel. You have the northern kingdom, consisting mostly of 10 tribes, and you have the southern kingdom, consisting of 2 tribes, Judah, Benjamin, and then you have Levi, and some came down to Asa, but mostly those. And so we're seeing what Asa, one of the good kings, did in the northern kingdom. Out of all the kings that reigned, not one of them is good. But at least in the southern kingdom, you get some that were good, some very good, and some, there was some goodness in them. But Asa was a good king. So remember that what happened, look at verse 9 in chapter 14, just to get the connection. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an army of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots. And so they come and they fight against Asa. But look at verse 11. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is none besides thee to help between the mighty and him that hath no strength. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rely on thee, and in thy name are we come against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against us. And the Lord answered that prayer and used Asa and his army of a little less than 500,000, and they won a great victory. Now, chapter 15, verse 1. This is why it's so important. After the victory has been won and Asa comes off in glorious honor for vanquishing his enemies, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. And he said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you, while you are with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Remarkable that this lesson had to be given right after a victory. I could understand it after a defeat, but it has to be given after a victory. This is why we've been victorious. And he lays down these principles for us. Now verse 3. Now, for a long season, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest. And without law, what? When in their distress they turned unto the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, he was found with them. And in those times, that is, when they were without God and alienated from him, and in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the land. And they were broken in pieces, nation against nation, and city against city. For God did vex them with all adversity. Those were the conditions. Now, having said that, the exhortation is coming. Verse 7. But, in spite of what happened in the past, you be strong. And let not your hands be slack, for your work shall be rewarded. These are truths that we today should never forget. Be strong, let not your hands be slack, for your work shall be rewarded. So often we feel like saying, Lord, we have labored in vain. But as Asa is promised, your work shall be rewarded. Let not your hands be slack, for God will tell us the same thing. You remember in Galatians, it says, And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Verse 8. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, and put away the abominations out of the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from the hill country of Ephraim. And he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and them that sojourned with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh, and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of all Israel, out of Israel in abundance, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. You see what has happened? He's been faithful to God, he's been given victory, and when those of the northern kingdom see how Asa has honored God, it says, they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, because they saw that the Lord his God is with him. Now verse 10. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they sacrificed unto the Lord in that day of the spoil which they had taken, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. It was a great victory, it was a great booty. But understand that they are honoring God with abundance of what he gave them. Verse 12. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers. Please now look back at verse 2, the middle of the verse. If you seek him, he will be found of you. Now look at verse 12. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. And that whosoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoice at the oath, for they have sworn with all their hearts, and starting with their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. This is a glorious portion. Verse 16. Now this is a difficult thing, but you'll find that just like David is spoken of as the father of the Lord, he's the son of David. It means the great, 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 great grandson of David. So Maacha is the grandmother of Asa. They call her the mother. And so listen, verse 16. And also Maacha, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed from being queen, the queen mother, because she had made an abominable image for an Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and made dust of it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And he brought unto the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war under the 35th year of the reign of Asa. This is a glorious chapter. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, in this chapter, we have seen that there were hard times, and then there were victorious, glorious times. We are thankful that such things have occurred throughout the history of the church, as in the history of Israel. And Father, let us know how small, how little power we have, that we would take to heart these exhortations, and we would be strong, and we would be faithful, because you have told us that we shall be rewarded. Now, Father, when we think of it, The great reward is ours already, because with the few, we've enjoyed worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We've enjoyed remembering your Son, the Lord Jesus, studying the Word of God, fellowshipping with one another. We thank you for that. We're aware, our Father, and there are many. There are misunderstandings, there are controversies, there is contention. But we thank you for what measure of peace we've had, and we look to you for continued happy fellowship, but also, Father, for an increase. So let us labor, and let not the hand hang down or the knees be feeble, but let us be faithful, because we read this chapter, and we see. My God, how could we attack our army the size of the enemy, go forth and be victorious, as you gave Asa, and those that followed him in faith victory. So we look to you. Bless us. Let us rejoice in what we have, and by faith expect more, our God. Help us, we pray. That is what Asa says. Help us, Lord. And that is what we say. We thank you for the blessings of today. And we thank you that again we've read your words and we desire to know more of it now in detail. So help us in this respect. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to the given plan, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. What I am doing is teaching the Word of God. I go to portions like this and see how they apply to us today, and I apply them. I teach them. But in olden days, and in the days of Paul and the apostles, there were prophets who not only were aware of the Word of God and what was written, but the Spirit of God would come upon them and would tell them precisely what God wanted them to do at this time. Precisely what was going to occur in a week or a month or a year. You remember Agabus, he was such a prophet. And also, in Acts chapter 13, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets. There were those that had the direct will of God. What we take it to be true today is this, that there are no prophets existing that infallibly had God to tell them, speak these words to the people. I hope that the Spirit of God has guided me in telling you what is contained in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and 15, but not like Paul, who, when the Christians were upset because their loved ones had died, and they thought that since they had died, that the Lord Jesus was going to come and they would miss out on the millennial kingdom. But then Paul said, this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. And God gave him a special message for visions like those among the Thessalonians. What God does now is to, having given us all these examples of all things that existed in the early church and in the Old Testament, he says, these are the answers, these are the solutions. So you go and learn from these portions what I told the church and Israel in the past and apply them to yourself. And that's what we try to do today. Because God not only has these prophets, but God also wants teachers, those that systematically give the Word of God and explain it, he wants it always among the people of God. And because of that, I see that from this one portion, telling a time when these conditions did not exist, I want us to look at some of the portions telling us about these conditions and the remedies. And so, listen to what it says in chapter 15, first of all. It says, verse 3, now for a long season, Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest. Most of us think of priests as taking the sacrifices and offering them upon the altar and leading the nation in worship. But look very carefully. It says, there were also teaching priests. And for a long time, Israel had been without a teaching priest, and also there were some who brought the law of God, the Old Testament scriptures, to their attention, had those taught the people of God. That it said for a long time, they were without the law, and they were without a teaching priest. And when that happened, look what the conditions were. They were distressed. There was no peace within, there was no peace without, there was vexation, there was warfare, and the thing that is related to it is that there was no teaching priest, and they were without the law of the Lord. I want you to see some scriptures now that God tells us how these things were rectified when these conditions did exist. Turn to 1 Samuel 3. We'll be coming back here. But 1 Samuel 3. And listen to similar words. Verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no frequent vision. The same conditions existed then, and we've read about similar conditions in Chronicles. No frequent vision. And the Bible says, where no vision is, the people perish. But now, let me show you how this is limited at times. Look now at Ezra chapter 7. See if you can find Ezra chapter 7. It said there was no teaching priest. Well, let's see what it says in Ezra chapter 7. And let's look at verse 10. For Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment, ordinances. You see, for a while there was no teaching priest in Israel. And when Ezra saw that this was the condition, Ezra said, I am going to be one who corrects that which is missing. And so Ezra was one of the teaching priests. But what had he done? He set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. What would be worse than to have some priest that knew the word of God and would tell you the word of God, but his life was contrary to what he was telling you to do? But Ezra was not such a one. First of all, he said, I'm going to study it and find out what it means. He set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, and then he said, I'm going to do it. That is the purpose of finding out what God's Word says. To do what God's Word says. But some people are quite willing to know what God's Word says and tell you to do it, but not do it themselves. But Ezra said, I'm going to learn it, and I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. All right, now I want us to look at Nehemiah 8. Look at Nehemiah 8. Just the next book over. Verse 1. It says, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the broad place that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe. We just read about him. Notice. He had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach in Israel. And now they speak to Ezra the scribe to bring the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. You remember? It says that there was no teaching priest and there was no law. But now here is Ezra, a teaching priest, and they bring the law of God before the assembly. Both men and women and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the month. And he read therein from the broad place that was before the water gate, from early morning until midday in the presence of the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So this is a miracle. To read the word of God from early to late, and for the people to pay attention to it and not to get weary, this is a remarkable thing. But this is just what God expects us to do. To love the word of God, to hunger for the word of God. Now, look at verse 4. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Uriah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pediah, and Mishael, and Malchijah, and Hashem, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshullam. Think of all of these assistants. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with the lifting up of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And all of these men, look at them, it said, the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So here they're standing for hours, and the word of God is being read and explained, and their soul is blessed. Let me just show you one other thing, because when it's read, I told you that Ezra had set his heart to seek the Lord to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgment. And now it says in verse 9, that Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the word of the Lord. I wonder if your heart is that tender and sensitive. I read the word of God to you. I explain it. I tell you what is expected of you. And then, having examined your heart, you say, I'm not doing what I should. And it said the people wept. This is a glorious spiritual condition when those that have not been doing the will of God, obeying His law, they have a change of mind, and they hear what they should do, and they weep, and then they start doing the word of God. Here is an example when things have changed. Alright, I want to show you other things that happened. Turn to 2 Kings now, 2 Kings 17. Look at verse 27. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom you brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the law of the God of the land. So one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now, let me show you something funny. Look at verse 33. They've been taught to fear the Lord. They didn't know how to fear the Lord. And so these heathen are now taught how to fear the Lord. And it says in verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations from among whom they had been carried away. So isn't that great? I've never known how to worship the Lord. Well, this is the way you should do it. Oh yes, now I understand. I've got that. But then you continue to worship your own God. That's the way people are today. It's like taking a course on comparative religion, and you see how other religions worship, and then you have no intention of doing any of these things, whether it's a Christian religion or Shintoism or Buddhism, you have no intention. But at least they were taught, and they knew how to worship. That was one thing. Now, I want us to see what the judgment of God is in Amos chapter 8. Look at the book of Amos if you can find it. Hosea, Joel, Amos, because what we are going to read now is the judgment of God. The very thing that we read had prevailed for so long. There was no teaching priest. There was no law. But Asa has determined to change that. Let's see now in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. This is what happens. This is the judgment of God. If you say, I can only endure so much of the Bible. We don't need so much Bible. God said, this is what's going to happen. Verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, and not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So, one thing you can rejoice in is this, that in this little Goldsboro Gospel Chapel, you have never been famished because the Word of God wasn't given to you. You've never lacked the water of the Word of God because it was not given to you. If it is that you are hungry and thirsty, it's not because the Word of God is not here. It's because it hasn't been taken to heart. But God said He's going to send these conditions upon some of the people of God because of the judgment. So beware when that happens. All right, I want you to see another portion. Look in Micah. Look in the book of Micah, if you can find that now. Chapter 3. Micah chapter 3. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Starting at verse 5. Thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that make my people to err, that bite with their teeth and cry, peace, and whoso putteth not into their mouths, they even prepare war against them. Therefore it shall be night unto you, that you shall have no vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and you shall not divine, and the sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. And the seers shall be put to shame, and the diviners confounded, yea, they shall cover their lips, for there is no answer of God. This is a terrifying prediction, and yet this is the pronouncement of the judgment of God. You do not want the word of God, as it says in Romans chapter 1, and inasmuch as they did not desire, they weren't pleased to have God, it says God gave them up. So beware when the word is neglected, the law is set aside, and there is a dearth and a famine in the land, but not of food and drink, but of the word of God. All right, now, there's so much more, but I want you to see one other thing that is so helpful. Look back now in 2 Chronicles 15. The prophet has spoken, and Asa has taken to heart, and look at verse 8. This is what Asa did. He took courage and put away the abominations out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the city which he had taken from the hill country of Ephraim, and he renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. Think of this. Here is a king whose father had left the nation filled with idolatry, filled with a worship of false gods, and now the prophet comes and gives exhortations to Asa, and at the risk of the whole nation turning against him, he as king says, I'm doing away with these false gods, these idols, and I'm going to do what the prophet has told me to do. That's what he does for the nation as a whole. But now here is something that is most difficult to do. Look at verse 16. Concerning the nation, he does one thing, to do away with their idolatry. But in verse 16,
And also Maacah, the grandmother of Asa, the king, he removed from being queen mother, because she had made an abominable image for an Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and made dust of it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Now, think of that. Think about your grandmother, the respect that you would have for her, but you discover that she is an idolater, a worshiper of false gods, and must you say, well, she's my grandmother, I must respect her? Absolutely not. God says, idolatry shall not be tolerated among any, whether they are close to you, whether they are loved of you. It says, they shall be set aside. Now, let me show you a little bit about this covenant. Look back up now in chapter 15. Look at verse 12. And they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. And that whosoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. You say, this is severe. This is exactly what God had demanded in the past. Here is his mother that is practicing idolatry. She's to be dealt with. And I'll show you that from Deuteronomy 13. Turn there to Deuteronomy 13. This is not a new covenant that is being made, nor is the altar that is renewed an altar for the first time. It's an altar that God had placed in Israel from the time that Moses had made a covenant with him. And so now, let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 13, which says this, at verse Deuteronomy 13, starting at verse 6. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife, or thy bosom, or thy friend that is in thine own soul, that is in thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor our fathers, of the gods of the peoples that are round about you, nigh unto you, or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hands of all the people. I told you, it wasn't a covenant made for the first time, but this was the instruction that God had given the nation of Israel. Why do you think Egypt was destroyed? Why do you think all the nations were destroyed when Israel was going into the promised land? Because they were idolatrous. And now God has graciously delivered Egypt, the Israelites from Egypt, and they have ceased from being idolaters, and they have been blessed. And God says, if you have people that want to take you back into idolatry, you shall not spare them. This was the severity of the Old Testament. So think now that here is Asa, and he has the courage to bring back the nation, and he has the courage and the strength to put down his grandmother when she is an idolater, and he brings back the nation of Israel to God. And look at verse 19, because of what he does. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And that's what we hope that some in authority in our land shall do. And God shall give us peace. Now time is on. Let us pray. Now Father, we are thankful that all the troubles that are bringing such sorrow and conditions upon America and the world for the same things that occurred that we just read in the days of Rehoboam and Abijam. But we're thankful that when it came to Asa, that he put down these conditions and did all in his power, our God, to bring the nation back to faithfulness and devotion. He taught them the word of God. He taught them the law of God. We pray that this shall be so in our nation. Let us know that some, in the name of democracy, would have the word of God hidden, would have prayer forbidden. All of these things, Father, that have kept us and preserved us, they would do away with. We pray that someone like an atheist shall come along and have courage, even if it's his own grandmother or loved ones, who say, we are going to follow the Lord. Give him strength and courage and power, and help us to be a nation that fears the Lord. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.